Begin reading in verse number 1. This is a long chapter, and I don't know if I'll read all of it. I won't read all of it, so I'll skip around, try to give you at least the setting of this story. Genesis 37, verse number 1. Before we do, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, I pray that you would bring to my heart and to my mind the things that need to be said, and bring to remembrance the things I've studied. And I pray that, Lord, that you'd help me to take the admonition that I believe you've spoken to my own heart. I pray not for me only, but also for this crowd, Lord, and beyond this crowd, Lord, that you would share the message. In Jesus Christ's name I do pray. Amen. Genesis 37, verse number 1, it says, "And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding with the flock with his brethren. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him." And then I want you to skip down to the 19th verse. Remember we left, it said that his brethren hated him. His own brothers hated him. In verse number 19, "And they said one to another, Behold, this dreamer cometh." That's what they called Joseph, because he'd had a dream. Verse 20, "Now come now, therefore, and let us slay him and cast him into some pit. We will say, Some evil beast hath devoured him. We shall see what will become of his dreams. And Reuben heard it, and he delivered him out of their hands and said, Let us not kill him." Then I want you to skip on down to verse number 27. "So decided not to kill him. Reuben's gone, I believe, at this time." In verse number 27, this is what they decided to do. He said, "Come and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh." And his brethren were content. Then there passed by Midianite merchants, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit, sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver, and they brought Joseph into Egypt. They knew that they would never see, at least they believed they'd never see their brother again. That once he was sold into slave, that was really a slavery unto death. He would die under the rigor, and so they believed he would be dead that way, and so they believed they'd never see him again. And I want you to turn to the 39th chapter of Genesis. I want you to look at verse number 3. Here he is in Egypt. He's in Potiphar's house. He's an officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the guard. And you see the third verse, "And his master," talking about Potiphar, "saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hands." In verse number 3, "And his master saw that the Lord was with him." That little statement, "the Lord was with him." A lost man saw that the Lord was with Joseph. Then I want you to look in verse number 3, or verse number 2. "And the Lord was with" what? Joseph. And then you see the next verse that Potiphar said, or at least thought in his heart, that the Lord was with him. We go back to the 37th chapter. I'm going to try to explain the setting there. We come to Joseph here, the fourth character in the book of Genesis, our main character. And Joseph here is a son of Jacob. He's son of Rachel, the one that Jacob loved. And she had two sons. She had Joseph, and she had Benjamin. Benjamin was just a young child at this time. And so Joseph here was 17 years of old, you see. And his father says, "Look, I want you to go check on your brothers. See how they're doing." They would assemble in bands, because you wouldn't travel alone as a shepherd. You would have people with you. And so the brothers would band together. And so they hated Joseph, because they knew that their father loved him more than they loved themselves. And so they hated, they really despised. The Bible says why he does it. He was, because he was of old age. And I had a brother that was 15 years younger than I am. I'm 48. And so I have two older sisters above me, and I call them older, make sure they know that. But you know, I told my sister this past weekend, or these past few days of Christmas, I said, what my brother got commended for, we got beat for. Because that my family, or my mother and father, were just kind of laid back. And I'm telling you the truth, we didn't get beat, but we did get whipped for, or we got rebuked for. But my brother got commended. He'd tell all the things that we would never dare to tell to my mother and father. We knew we'd get whipped. We knew we'd get chastised, if you want to call it that way. Well, here he is, Joseph's the older son, really just Jacob's in old age. And so they hate their brother. They don't look at all the reasons why his father loves him. And so he does play, I guess, favorite, loving Joseph more in their eyes, makes him a coat of many colors. And so Joseph goes on and tells, they already hate him, and he goes on and tells a dream. We didn't read that. He tells a dream about how he was out there and he took his wheat and he made a sheaf of it, a pile of wheat. And all these other sheaves were his brother's sheaves, and his sheaf, his pile of wheat actually was upright, and all the other sheaves bowed down to his sheaf. He tells his brother this. I think he's just naive. And so immediately they know, what do you think, we're going to bow down to you? So that really puts it in their heart. They really hate him even the worst. The Bible says they hate him so much they couldn't really speak to him peaceably. That's pretty bad. Then he has another dream. And he has this dream, and he says that the sun and the moon and the stars bow down to him. Tells it to his brother, tells it to his father. His father got mad. His father kind of rebuked him. Said, you mean your mother and I are going to bow down to you? But his brothers hated him even the worse. And so, but Jacob put it in his heart, began to dwell on these things. And so some time went by, and his brothers off there checking on, keeping the sheep. They're 50 miles from where they should be. And so he sends his favorite son, Joseph, to go check on his brother, and he has this coat of many colors. And when they see him afar off, they said, there comes this dreamer. This dreamer. And so they begin to plot. They hate him so much, they begin to plot how they're going to kill him, how they're going to get rid of him. I want to tell you something, they hated him. If you want to kill your own flesh and blood, that's pretty bad. And so they're plotting there, and while they're watching him in their hatred, and Reuben steps in, the oldest brother, Reuben steps in and says, we can't do this thing. You cannot kill him. And so they come up with a plan to cast him in this cistern, this dry well. And Reuben decided in his heart that after they were all gone, he would set his brother free and send him back to his father. Well, somehow Reuben, in the story, was gone. And then while he was gone, the brothers decided, you know what, instead of us killing him, why don't we just sell him to these band of Ishmaelites that are going to Egypt, and then the blood won't be in our hands. So that's what they did. Reuben comes back, he realizes they're gone. Judah, that was his plan. So Judah came up with that plan. They said, that's a great plan, we'll do that. And so when Reuben comes back, he's gone. What they do is they take his coat of many colors and they rip it off of him while they're putting him in this prison. They rip it off of him, and then they kill a little goat. And they take the blood of that goat, put it on those coat of many colors, and they send a servant back to the father and says, we found this. That'll be some ravaging beast killed your favorite son. They didn't say that. That's what they intended. And Jacob went in such mourning. Matter of fact, he mourned for 20 years. He could not be comforted because his son, as far as he knew, was dead. Now, you look at this story, this one chapter, all this is in one chapter, and you look at our statement that the Lord was with him, you would not think that it had anything to do with this chapter, would you? No. You would say, how could the Lord be with him when his own brethren hate him? How could the Lord be with him when he was sold? How could the Lord be with him when he was forsaken by his own family? Wounded by his own family. But the Bible says that the Lord was with him. Out of all of the book of Genesis, there are four main characters. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph are your four main characters in the book of Genesis. Out of all of the chapters, you would say, well, Abraham would be the father of the faithful. He is a main character. But of all the book of Genesis, 14 chapters, a quarter of the book of Genesis, is written about Joseph. More chapters than the creation, more chapters than Abraham, and more chapters than Isaac or Jacob is written about Joseph. Think that's on purpose? Sure it is. God has a reason. If you look at the study of Joseph's life, there is never one record of sin recorded about Joseph. In other words, not a sin that Joseph did, even though Joseph did sin. He was a sinner. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. And so Joseph fell under that. But he was a sinner, but the Bible doesn't record any of his sins. Because God wants us to learn to model our life after this young man. Let me give you another main reason. Because Joseph typifies, testifies, pictures the Lord Jesus Christ. What he does. And so when we study the life of Joseph, we also see the person of Christ. We see in his testimony, and that'll be one of my points here in just a few minutes when I get to him. When you look at these things, like I said, he pictures, he typifies the Lord Jesus Christ. And so in all of these chapters, if you were to take all of the chapters of Genesis, but at least all of the 14 chapters that deal with the life of Joseph, if there was one summary statement that would summarize, and I read and have read all of the life of Joseph several times, you would see that this statement, that the Lord was with him, would summarize every account of the life of Joseph. And so I want to take just a few minutes to talk about that statement, talk about the life of Joseph. Now, I want to share with you just the first thing I put down, is the Lord was with him, and it was seen by the heart, Joseph. There's a reason why God was with him. And I'm going to deal with some of your questions. But in the 39th chapter, if you want to turn there, in Genesis chapter number 39, we see in these two verses that I read to you in verse number 2, and the Lord was with Joseph, in verse number 3, and the master saw that the Lord was with him. But I want you to look at something that reveals more of his heart to the 9th verse. Not dealing with that per subject, but he was there, was put in, given as a servant in Potiphar's house. And God so blessed Potiphar's house that he put everything under Joseph's rule, was under Joseph's hand. Potiphar put it all under him. And then you see, as soon as that happened, as soon as God began to bless him, the Bible says, verse number 7, and it came to pass after these things. In other words, as soon as God blessed him, put his blessing on him, that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, lie with me. Can I tell you this? As soon as God begins to work in your heart and the glory of God is on your life, I want to tell you something. You're going to face and fight the devil. You need to get that in your heart. We live in a world that we think as long as everything goes well, as long as all the blessings are there, as long as all my prayers, there's no ridicule, there's no persecution, that everything, God's in it. You cannot find that in scriptures at all. Usually, if everything's going well, everything's going great for a long length of time, it's because we're going in the wrong direction. We're not going with God. And Joseph, as soon as the glory of God was on him, Satan hated him. He was after him. And he uses pawns and people to do his work. And so when you look at this, immediately see his heart, verse number 9. She wants to lie with him, verse number 9. There is none greater in this house than I. This is what he's saying to Potiphar's wife. Neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee. But thou art his wife. How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? You know what he knew by that statement? He said, how can I do such a wicked thing and sin against God? You know what that tells me about Joseph? It tells me about his heart. He knew that the sin, in order to lie with his master's wife was adultery, and it was a sin against God. And he said, I cannot do this wicked thing. You know who was in the house? There was only Joseph, and there was only Potiphar's wife. Nobody else would have known. But Joseph said, God would have known. And so in his heart, it reveals right off the bat that his heart was toward the Lord. But I thought, well, is there any other evidence? And there is other evidence. But I want to tell you, this statement is not just made about Joseph. This statement is made in several prominent people within scriptures that God blessed. It was made in the book of Acts in the 11th chapter about the early church. It says, the Lord was with them. And it said, many of the Grecians were saved. God's blessing was on that church because God was with them. It also is said of David. It said of David this, when Saul was rejected as king. And so, the Bible says that an evil spirit would come on Saul. And so he needed somebody that could play an instrument or play the harp, and so they looked for someone that could play the harp. He said, find someone that is a cunning player. And the Bible says a man gives testimony in 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 18 about David. And this is what the Lord said. This is what he described from the verse. He said, David was a mighty valiant man. He was a man of war. He said he was prudent in matters. He said he was a comely person. In other words, he was good to look upon. This is what he said last. And the Lord was with him. The Lord was with him. And so when he looked at David, he knew that the Lord was with him. Saul, he becomes to come into Saul's kingdom. Saul had not been removed physically, even though he'd been rejected by God. And Goliath, he defeated Goliath. Remember they were singing the songs that David has killed his tens of thousands, and Saul just his thousands. Remember that? So he hated Saul. He hated David. And so Saul one day had that evil spirit, so he took a javelin and he threw it, David. David escaped. And the Bible says that Saul said this several times. He said, the Lord is with David. The Lord is with David. Can you read the book of Psalms and not say that the Lord was with David? Sure you can. Why? Because you see the spiritual heart. You know what the Lord said of David? He was a man after mine own heart. Let me quote you a scripture, and I think you need to write it down in your margin because it spoke to my own heart. In 2 Chronicles chapter number 15, verse number 2, he says, hear me, Asa, and all Judah, and Benjamin. Boy, I looked up, took up notice when it said my name. Look, all Judah and Benjamin, the Lord is with you while ye be with him. And if you seek him, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. Let me read that verse to you again, because it is a commendation and a warning to God's children. He says this, while ye be with him, the Lord is with you while ye be with him. And if you seek him, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. In 2 Kings chapter number 18, I want you to turn your Bible there if you would. 2 Kings chapter number 18, I want to show you about King Hezekiah. Godly king of Judah. And the Lord says about Hezekiah, you ought to read the first 8 verses, but I think we'll read just for the sake of time. We'll read verse number 1. 2 Kings chapter number 18, verse number 1. Now it came to pass in the third year of Hoshea, the son of Elah, king of Israel, that Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. 25 years old was he when he began to reign, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Abba, the daughter of Zechariah, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father. Now we're talking about how the Lord was upon Hezekiah. He removed the high places and brake the images and cut down the groves and brake in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. For unto those days the children of Israel did burn incense to it, and he called it Nehushtan. He trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him. For he clave, in other words, he walked closely to the Lord and departed not from following him, but kept his commandments which the Lord commanded Moses. And the Lord was with him, and he prospered whithersoever he went forth. And he rebelled against the king of Assyria and served him not. He smote the Philistines and goes on to talk about that. But you see there, the Bible says that the Lord was with Hezekiah because of his obedience to the Lord. Many of you and many of I would say, you know, Brother Sewell, we're in the New Testament. God is with us. We're indwelt by the Spirit. That doesn't mean we're filled with the Spirit, because we're commanded to be filled with the Spirit. But we are indwelled with the Spirit. We are blessed by God. But our blessing and God's favor comes with our walk with Him. Joseph grew up in the same family that Jacob did. Same family. But the Lord did not say of his own brothers that he said about Joseph. Same father. Probably the same upbringing. But Joseph made a decision in his heart to walk with the Lord. And Hezekiah is a picture, and that's how we know where it means. What does it mean that the Lord was with him? It means that the Lord was with him because as he followed the Lord, God blessed him. And that's why he did, and that's what he did. We say, well, the Lord's with me. I want to tell you something. You may be saved, but if you're not a righteous man, the Lord's not blessing you. The Bible says in James chapter 5, the fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much. You know why you don't get your prayers answered? I don't get my prayers answered. One, you don't know Christ as your Savior. That could be one reason. Two, you may be saved, but you don't pray. Or three, you pray, you're not walking with God, so your prayers are not answered. James says, the fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much. In other words, two people, both saved. One walking with God, one not. One prays to God, the same prayer. He gets his prayers answered because he's righteous with God, because the Lord is with him. The Lord's blessing is on him. Many people say, well, you know, as long as I get saved, that's all I need. What if I told you about a kindergartner here or a first grader? Our children can read in kindergarten, most of them, as far as I know. They can read. What if I told you all they needed was to know how to read and a little bit of arithmetic, multiplication? That's all they need. Send them out into the world. You know what you'd say? You're foolish. And you'd say, you're pretty stupid. You would. You might not be that nice. But many Christians say, you know what? All that matters is I'm saved. That's the same thing as saying about a kindergarten. All it needs is to know how to read. A little bit of arithmetic. That's not enough. It's enough to get you to heaven. But it's not enough to see the Word and really the will of God in your own life and God's blessing on your life. You need to grow in the Lord. We need to learn to grow up. We need that statement, the Lord was with him. And that depends on your decision and my decision with the Lord. Psalms chapter number 51. You know what, David? God's hand was on him, but he also forsook the Lord, and God's hand was taken from him. And God began to chastise David. And in the 51st Psalm we read there in the bulletin, in the 10th verse, it says, he prayed, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. And many of God's children need to do exactly that. We need to pray, Lord, create in me a clean heart and renew in me a right spirit. So it could be said of me that the Lord is with me. It was said of David. But not during this time. The 51st chapter. And God had to bring his chastisement. Let me say this. The Lord was with Joseph. This was seen in the circumstances of his life. Go back, if you would, to the 39th chapter of Genesis. When we look, like I said, the life really of Joseph, we have to look at how God was with him. Like I said, this 21st verse, I want you to see of 39th chapter. The Bible says, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And here it is again in the 39th chapter. The Lord was with Joseph. When I began to read this portion of Scripture, the 37th chapter, and I began to explain that 37th chapter, I said the statement, the Lord is with him, didn't seem to fit within that chapter. But if you look at his life and you look at the circumstances in each part of that chapter, the 39th chapter and the 37th chapter, God was with him. All of his things. Let me just give you in summary real quick. God was with Joseph when he was hated by his own brothers. We already read in the 37th chapter, but in verse number 4, and when his brethren saw their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. Verse 5, and Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told his brethren, they hated him yet the more. And so they plotted to kill him. They hated him so much they didn't subside to plot to kill him. But the Bible says that Reuben stepped in. You know who Reuben was? He was the firstborn. But I believe, personally, that Joseph was truly the firstborn. If you study about that garment, the coat of many colors, that set him aside. Most people believe that Joseph was saying to his brothers, he is the firstborn. But he was, Rachel was supposed to be the wife that he loved, worked 14 years for. And her oldest son was Joseph. These other brothers, Reuben, you know what Reuben had done? He had already went into his father's concubine and lost his firstborn right. Simeon, remember him? Simeon was there, and he had, with his anger and rage, he slaughtered those people that raped his sister with Levi. We saw what he was. God, I believe, promoted Joseph because he was the firstborn. But Reuben, even though you would think he would have stood against his own brother Joseph, God put in his heart to stand in the way that they would not slay him, shed his blood. Who was doing that? God was doing that. The Lord was with him, even in these trials, even in these troubles, even in the thing when he was hated, the Lord was with him. The Lord was with him when he was sold to Potiphar's. We already read the 5th and 6th verse, but the Bible said about Potiphar that said that all of his house, he realized that everything that he owned was being blessed because Joseph. He realized that. Here's a lost man. And he sees that the Lord is with Joseph, and he sees that all of his house is being blessed. You know, many times we're blessed either by our spouse or by someone else. May it not have anything to do with us. And that's how Potiphar was. Potiphar was being blessed because of Joseph. And so you see the Lord was with him. And that's saying, so God put Joseph next to Potiphar. He was the highest in his home. So God placed him there. Then you see the lies of his own wife, and I believe that Potiphar probably knew. But out of just saving face and not losing his own marriage, he puts him and throws him within the prison. Whether I'm right or wrong, I don't know. But he throws him in prison. As soon as he does, the guard there, the head over that prison, realizes that the Lord was with Joseph. We read it in the 21st verse of the 39th chapter. And the Bible says he began to put everything over that prison house under the rule, under the reign. Joseph. Here he is, he's hated, he's despised, he's plotted against. The Lord was with him. Even with Judah, when his brother Judah said, you know what, let's just don't slay him, let's sell him. The Lord was with him. With Reuben, the Lord was with him. When he was in Potiphar's house, the Lord was with him, blessed him. When he was in the prison house, the Lord was with him. Even when the chief butler and the chief baker came into that prison, that was God's plan to reveal one day Joseph to Pharaoh. The Lord was with him. I mean, all through his life, you see one thing and one thing only. The Lord was sovereign, and the Lord was with him in all those situations. You know, just because we're saved doesn't mean that trials, troubles, sorrows don't happen. But just like Joseph, if you're walking with the Lord, your heart's with the Lord, You're doing your best. You're not perfect, but you're walking with God. God is with you when everyone else hates you. The Lord is with you when other people have envy against you. The Lord is with you when it seems like you're totally forsaken. The Lord can be with you. That's a great promise from the life of Joseph. I don't know where you are this morning. I don't know if you're hated. I don't know your family life. I don't know your situation between you and your husband and wife. But in every situation, we look at the life of Joseph. And as long as we're right, we can have that promise. Let me give you a verse that I quote all the time, every Sunday that rolls. I go kneel to the Lord in prayer, just trying to study and prepare for the message and getting my heart right. On Sunday morning, I'll drink my coffee, I eat my toast, pray over that too. I'm reading my Proverbs for myself. And then I kneel in prayer and I begin to get my own heart right. Make sure there's nothing between me and the Savior. And I say this, and I quote this verse. I say, Lord, you said, we being evil know how to give good gifts to our children. How much more shall the Heavenly Father give the Spirit to them that ask Him? And I say, Lord, I need the Holy Spirit. I need His anointing. I need His presence. And I claim that promise, and I know He answers it. I know He answers. I've seen it time and time and time again. I don't know where you are, but I know that promise is just as good for Joseph as it's good for me. Let me say real quickly, lastly, and really most importantly, the Lord was with Joseph. And this is seen in his testimony. You know, all of this, if you study this portion of Scripture, he said to Potiphar's wife, he said, how could I do this thing against my God? When he went to tell the dreams to the chief butler, the chief, he said, it's not in me, it's in God to give the dreams. When he stood before Pharaoh, probably main king, maybe probably ruler of all that earth, maybe like America is today, he said, it's not in me, but it's in God. All of Joseph's life testified of who God was. And in his life, it is a prophecy of the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now there, it's been said, I haven't studied it for myself, I haven't looked at all of the little accounts, but I have read much of them. But it's been said that almost 40, if not more than 40, types, Joseph is at least 40 times the type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is. If you begin to study, especially the 37th chapter, you cannot help but see. That's why I struggled on what to preach. Because that first 37th chapter, all you see is he pictures the Lord Jesus Christ. He is a prophecy of Jesus Christ, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Let me just give you a taste, if I can, of this thing. Let me say, when Joseph was despised and hated of his own brethren. Isaiah chapter 53, verse number 3, the prophet says this about the Lord Jesus Christ, says he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. Joseph was sold for 20 pieces of silver by his own brother Judah. Remember Judas sold the Lord Jesus Christ for 30 pieces of silver. You know what the Old Testament name or the New Testament name really for Judas is actually the Old Testament name, Judah. Judah sold his brother for 20 pieces of silver. Well, Judas, which is also Judah, sold the Lord Jesus Christ for 30 pieces of silver. The Lord Jesus Christ was sold. You could talk about his coat, how it was stripped from him. The same way it was stripped from Joseph, it was stripped from our Lord. Joseph's coat, like I said, was cast into prison. In Isaiah chapter 53 and verse number 8, this is what it says, that he was taken from prison and from judgment. Isaiah 53:12 says, he was numbered with the transgressors. Joseph was exalted through the throne. Genesis chapter number 41 and verse 40. Let's turn there in your Bible to Genesis chapter number 41. I want you to look at verse number 40 with me. This is what Pharaoh said. Now, he interpreted the dream. Pharaoh had a dream. You remember, of 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine. And none of his magicians could interpret it. And so Joseph was brought out of the prison. His butler remembers and says, oh, I had forgotten him. And so he comes out there, cleans himself up, and comes before Pharaoh, and interprets his dream. And this is what Pharaoh said in verse number 40. Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. Can you not see the Lord in all of Joseph's life? He was even renamed, and I won't even try to pronounce his name. He was even given a name by the Egyptians. And you know what it means in Egyptian? Joseph, or his name, is Savior of the world. That's what it means. And all the life of Joseph pictures. Let me give you a verse that you know in Philippians chapter number 2, verse number 9. It says, wherefore God also has highly exalted him, talking about the Savior, and give him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, that every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And so when you look at this, and you look at the life of Joseph, it's not to try to exalt Joseph. God gives us in the very book of beginnings, that's what Genesis means, beginnings. He gives us His plan, His purpose, and His Savior. And so when we look at Joseph, God is saying that Jesus Christ is my Messiah. He is the Savior of the world. He's the only one that can save you. He's the only one that will save you. He's the only one that could die on that cross, take our sins on Himself, die in our place, and by His blood, because He was man, because man broke the law, but because He was God, He could cover an eternal sin. And through the Lord Jesus Christ, there is eternal salvation. But we need to bow the knee and put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's every head bowed and every eye closed. The Lord is with him. Could you say that?